to us what God has given her. Amen. Amen. For Reverend Michelle Leapart, let her come now.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Reverend.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Okay, thank you. Giving honor to God and to Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, to the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need him in order to have worship. Amen. And to Pastor Pickens, we always say thank you for the opportunity to bring a word. And if you know me, I don't like to waste time. Amen.
Amen.
Man, like to do what I'm told to do and move on out the way. And so this morning, if you would, turn to your in your Bibles to the book of Numbers. And we're going to be in chapter 22. And we are going to be looking at verses 22 through 30. And so once you get there, say amen, and I'm going to read it, and you can read along with me. Numbers chapter 22, verses 22 through 30. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. And it reads as follows. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. And then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she laid down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he said, "No." You may be seated.
Amen.
And I'm going to use for a topic this morning, the donkey is not the problem. Amen.
Amen.
The donkey is not the problem.
Amen.
Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, we just come this morning, Lord God, we thank you for everything. Thank you for your goodness, for your blessings. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit or promise. God, we just thank you and praise you that we are even in the land of the living, that you chose to touch us this morning and to wake us up, Lord God. We say thank you. And Father God, we have come to this preaching moment. We have come to this moment where we want to open up your word, declare a word to your people, that they may be encouraged, that they might be inspired, that they might find hope. And so I ask, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, that you would just cover me, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would just rise up in me, that you would just stand up, Lord God, and declare what thus saith the Lord. And so I'm asking you to have your way. Give me preaching power. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. And I ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God is good. Anytime I get before the people, it's like when I go to the doctor. When you go to the doctor, first thing they want to do is take your blood pressure.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but when I first go in and they take my blood pressure, it's high. It's way high. But then, thank God, they take it again. After all is said and done, they take it again, and the blood pressure is low. Amen?
Amen.
And so, for me, that's how public speaking is. You know, preachers aren't necessarily in and of themselves public speakers, but God turns us in to public speakers. He makes us what he wants us to be. And so anytime I start off, I'm a little nervous. Right now, I'm just working my way through my nervousness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So you always start off a little nervous, but as the Holy Spirit takes over, amen, as the Holy Spirit comes upon you, as he begin to have his way, then we settle down and we are able to declare what thus saith the Lord. So the message this morning, the donkey is not the problem, out of Numbers chapter 22. Have 3 points. The first point is no means no. The second point is the donkey is not the problem. And the third point is sin is serious to God. Amen. Sin is serious to God. And so when we look at the story, a lot of people may or may not be familiar with the story. A lot of people are familiar with the talking donkey, but they're not necessarily familiar with the story that goes along with this talking donkey. And so just to give you a backdrop, that the story starts out in Numbers. The book of Numbers is really the journey of the Israelites through the wilderness. And when we get to 22, we're kind of moving towards the promised land. Amen. And along the way, they have done some things. God has allowed them to do some things. One thing he has allowed them to do is grow. There's a lot of them, right? There's like millions of them by this time. And so while they may have started off small, anytime God blesses you, things begin to multiply and things begin to grow. And so there's a lot of them at this time. And so not only have they grown, they have also won a lot of victories. They have taken whole nations out, whole tribes out. Amen. And so people, they had a reputation of having God's favor. They had a reputation of being able to annihilate whole tribes of people. And so when it comes to Numbers 22, we see that they are on their way into an area that is ruled by a king whose name is Balak. And Balak looks out, and I'm going to the beginning of the chapter. I pray that you would read it when you go home. And so he goes to look, and he sees the Israelites headed his way. He sees his millions of people headed towards his country. And so as king of his country, naturally, he becomes concerned. And he becomes so concerned that he is trying to, in his mind, figure out a way he could put a stop to them entering into his country. Because he has heard of their favor with God. He has heard that they are able to take people out. He has heard of the power that they have because of their God. And so now he sees them coming towards him. And he's trying to figure out a way to stop them. And so what he does is he sends a man to go to a soothsayer, a diviner, some say a prophet, but he would be a false prophet, if anything, amen,
amen,
to see if he could curse the children of Israel, put a curse on them. To me, it would be like going to a witch, because witches do what? They put a curse on people, right? So he sent some of his men to Balaam to see if Balaam would be willing to curse the Israelites so that he would have the victory over them in case they moved into his territory. And so he sent these men to Balaam, and Balaam had to go to God. Really, God came to him. And God came to him and asked Balaam, "Who are these men?" And so I'm just going to read it for you because I think it's important to have in our hearing. And so I'm going to go to 22:5. It says, "Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river, in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, 'Look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. You see how expansive they are? They covered the face of the earth. There was a lot of them. Therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you blessed is blessed, and him who you cursed is cursed. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. And so they were sent, and they had money to give him, okay? So the difference between, if you want to call him a prophet, some of the translations do, if you want to call him a soothsayer or a diviner, the difference between him and the prophets, say, of Ezekiel and Isaiah, is that he did his business for money. Okay? It was a paid position. He was not like the prophets who spoke on behalf of God for nothing. He was not like a prophet who got a word of God for the people to encourage them. He was being paid to give these blessings or curses to people. That was his job. And so they went to him to see if he would speak a curse over the children of Israel. And verse 8 said, and he said to them, and this is Balaam talking to the messengers, and he said to them, lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me. So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Now, when we go through this story, remember that he talks about God as if he has a relationship with them. And in fact, he does. But it's not the same relationship that we have with God, okay? God can talk to anybody on the face of the earth. Why? Because he's God, right? He knows each and every one of them. And so he says, I will bring back word to you. Stay here with me, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me. So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. So they asked him to curse Israel. Now, if you were really a prophet of God, what would you do? You would send them away. Your answer, without even going to consult God, your answer would have been no. But he invites them because, what, this is his job, and they have offered him a fee. And so he says, well, stay the night and let me go check it out with God. Don't play with God. Amen? 9. Then God came to Balaam. He didn't wait for Balaam to come to him. He said, then God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? So Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me, saying, look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. And so he got his answer right there, right? Isn't that? That's good news. You can't curse the people that God has blessed. If you're in this room and you're a child of God, if this in this room and you have believed in Jesus Christ, if you are in this room and you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your body, with all your soul, nobody can curse what God has blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed in the city, and we are blessed in the field. We are blessed when we go in, and we are blessed when we go out. And if people don't like us, it really doesn't matter. Why? Because you cannot curse what God has blessed. Amen. Amen. And so he told Balaam, no, you cannot go. Because my people are blessed, you cannot go and curse them. So I'm to my first point. No means no.
Yeah, right.
Okay? But human nature has a tendency not to like that word no. When there's something that you really want and you have to go through someone else to get it, when that person tells you no, it usually doesn't sit well with you. That is just human nature, because we want what we want. And Balaam wanted to go. Why? Because he wanted to get paid. Necessarily that he had anything against these people, but they had offered him some money, and this is his job. And of course he wanted to go because he wanted to get paid, but God said no. So Balaam did something that makes it look like he's being obedient to God.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, we can look like we're being obedient to God, but in our heart, something else might be going on.
Yeah.
We could look like we're saying, okay, yeah, God, okay, you said no, it's good. But in our hearts, something else is going on.
Uh-huh.
We still want what we want. And so he says in verse 13, so Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. The Lord has refused. He could have just went and said, God said no.
Yeah.
But he said, the Lord refused me permission to go with you. I don't have permission to go with you. If I did have permission, I would be there.
Yeah.
But God didn't give me permission. And the prince of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, Balaam refused to come with us. Then Balak sent princes more numerous and more honorable than they. And so this speaks to temptation, okay? When you want what you want and you can't have it, Satan is not going to stop there. He's going to keep pushing that envelope, tempting you, until he gets you to do that very thing that you say you don't want to do. This is what Paul was talking about in Romans 7 when he said, the good that I would do, evil is always present. Because Satan's job in the earth is to continue to get us, to tempt us, to get us to do those things that we do not want to do. And so that is his job, and he's good at it. He is masterful at it. He will do it each and every time. And so when somebody tells you no, the best thing you could do is accept it. Because if you don't accept it, I'm telling you, Satan's coming back. And he's coming back stronger, and he's coming back more glamorous, and he's coming back more enticing. He is coming back because his intent is to get you to sin. And so they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. And so now Balak is offering him some privileges, right?
Yeah.
I told you he comes back stronger, yeah. Offering more money. He sent more distinguished people this time. He didn't send his little handmaids. He sent some dignitaries this time, and he sent them with more money, and he's offering him more power.
Yeah.
He's offering something more than he did the first time. Once again, that is how Satan operates. We cannot be ignorant of the schemes of Satan. Satan is going to try each and every time, bigger and better. Isn't that what he did with Jesus in the wilderness? When Satan tried to tempt him, each temptation was bigger. Each temptation was greater until he offered him the whole world, which he already owned. But he offered it to him anyway. And Jesus was able to resist the temptation because he was without sin. He knew to accept the temptation is to accept the next step, which is what? Sin. Amen. It's sin.
Amen.
And so he said in 18, then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more.
Right.
Now, therefore, please, you also stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. So that's a little bit of double talking, right? I can't do this. Because God has already told me no. Nevertheless, have a seat. Stay for the night and let me go back and check again. When God tells you no, you don't need to go back and check again. When God says no, no means no. You just need to accept it. You don't need to go back and beg and plead. Why? Because God is a God who doesn't do what? He doesn't change his mind. There is no need for him to change his mind. When he makes a decision, it is it's set in stone. This is the decision. This is what I'm going to do. And so he didn't have to think twice about it. But yet and still, there's something going on in his own heart that makes him think that maybe I can convince God to give in to what I want. Don't we do that? Maybe the question should be, has anybody ever done that? Have you ever tried God to agree with what you want to do? Even when you already know the answer is no. But you keep going, thinking somehow God is going to change his mind. He's going to see things your way, and he's going to give in and say, yes, but God doesn't see things our way. Amen? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. All of his ways and all of his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and so he's never going to see things our way. His job is not to lead us into temptation. His job is to deliver us from temptation. And so this is what he, hallelujah, this is what he was trying to do for Balaam. He was trying to deliver him from the temptation that had set in his heart. But he didn't want to go. And so he said he went to God again. And in verse 20 it says, and God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to call you, rise and go with them. But only the word which I speak to you, that shall you do. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princess of Moab. So what just happened there? I thought God said no. Now it appears that God is saying what? Yes. But God is not saying yes because God has already said no. And as I just said, he's not going to change his mind. He said no, and he meant no. But just the fact that Balaam would come back showed God that there's something in his heart that I need to fix. There is something going on with him that I need to make right. Because he would not have come back to me if I already just told him no. He would not have come back to me asking me again if there was not something going awry in his person. And God is a God who's going to straighten us up. People don't believe that, but that's one of God's, really the Holy Spirit's responsibility is to convict us of sin. Amen. And to make sure that we're living the best life that we can, that we're living for God the best we can. And so God said yes, not because he really wanted him to go, but now he's getting ready to teach him a lesson. I don't want God to teach me a lesson. If God tell me no, I'm going with it. Amen. Because God teach you a lesson, he's going to teach you a lesson. Amen. When God teach you a lesson, it's going to hurt. When God teaches you a lesson, and if it doesn't hurt you physically, it's going to hurt you spiritually. It's going to hurt you emotionally. Because God wants you to be the best you that you can be. And so he would have been doing Balaam a disservice to do anything else besides let him have his way. God does not force his way on us. He will allow you to go and do what you want to do. But there is going to be a consequence. Mm-hmm. Look at some situations in your life. Did God tell you no? And you just went and did it anyway? Can anybody testify about how that went for you? Didn't go good. Amen. And it never will go good. If God says no, he means no. But we're going to move to our second point and say that the donkey is not the problem. And this is the verses that we read at the beginning. Then God's anger was aroused because he went. And so God let him go, but God is mad. Some people don't think God gets mad, but did the word of God just say what? Then God's anger was aroused because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Listen to James chapter 4, verse 4. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So the angel of the Lord came as what? The adversary. Why? Because Balaam wanted to be friends with the world. He wanted that money. He wanted that position. He wanted that power that was offered to him. And the minute we want what the world has to offer us, we become what? An enemy of God. This is hard to understand because we're children of God, right? God loves us. And so when he says that we are his enemy, it says that in that moment of time, you're not willing to obey him. In that moment of time, you are treating him like he is the enemy. In that moment of time, you are not respecting his desires for your life. And because of that, you become an enemy of God. You are no longer for him. Now you are against him. And so that, hallelujah, that's where Balaam is. He's no longer with God. Now he is against God. So now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. And then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. See, it gets more intense, right? The consequences get more intense as he goes. God does not play. His word is what it is. And so he sent this angel, and the donkey sees the angel. And he sees the angel was blocking Balaam's way.
Yeah.
And so the donkey does what animals do. Animals are smart.
Yes, they are.
And they see what we cannot see. They really do. They hear things that we cannot hear. Why? Because they live in an environment that we don't live in. And in that environment, their safety depends on them being keen in their hearing and keen in their seeing. And so they have to have a keener sense of ability than we have. And so the donkey saw the angel, and he saw the angel was blocking the road. And so he did what a donkey would or any animal would do. He turned the other way. Or he tries to get away. He tries to go around. He tries to go over. He tries to go under. He's trying to get around this angel, but he sees that it is impossible. When you go and you try to do what God wants to do, I don't care how you try to get over, you're not getting over. You can go this way and try to get it done, and you can go that way to try to get it done, and you can go under to try to get it done. You can try to go over and try to get it done just to try to get your way, and it's not going to work. Not going to work today, and it's not going to work on tomorrow. Because God is smarter than we are. God is wiser than we are. God has resources that we don't have. And when God wants to stop your attempt to do what you want to do, he has all power in the world to make it stop. He can stop it at any way, at any point. And verse 25 said, and when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Stop beating the donkey. The donkey is not the problem. But that's what we do, right? When God sends people to tell us no, don't we beat them down? Don't we tell them they don't know what they're talking about? Don't we tell them you just don't want me to do it? Don't we make up all kind of excuses? We beat them with our words. We beat them with our actions. But stop beating the donkey, because the donkey is not the problem. You are the problem. Your sin is the problem. Your temptations are the problem. The donkey is not the problem. It is you.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank
amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God.
So the donkey is not the problem. 3 points. He has given in to sin's temptation. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. God did not do this.
No,
he
did. Balaam did it. God just made him suffer the consequences of doing what he wanted to do. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And so he is in this predicament, blaming the donkey and beating the donkey, all because the sin in his heart has gotten out of control.
Yeah.
He has been tempted beyond measure. And now he is in the place where he's trying to get what he wants, but God has put up roadblocks. Yeah. Have God ever put up a roadblock in your life? Amen. I know God has put up some roadblocks in my life. And in hindsight, I just say hallelujah. And I just say thank you, God, that you were wiser than I was, that you were greater than I was, that you love me more than I love myself, that you were able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think, and that you made a way out of no way. I just say hallelujah for every roadblock that God has put in my way, trying to protect us.
Yeah.
Trying to keep us on the right path for righteousness' sake.
Thank you, Lord.
Trying to lead us beside those still waters.
Yeah.
But the sin, the sin just wants to have its way. And so he's given into sin's temptation. And then the sin he engaged in caused him to lose his humanness. He was abusing the donkey. So sin has taken way out of his element. Sin has taken him way out of his humanness, where he now is up to the point where he's willing to beat this poor donkey just because the donkey sees what he cannot see. The donkey sees the roadblock, but Balaam doesn't see it. And so now he's turned into an animal himself. and he starts beating his own animal. Anybody who knows anybody in a domestic violence situation, that ought not be. That is an animal beating that person. And that is not what God wants. Their sin has gotten out of control. I know people, when they get angry, they slam doors. The doors be falling off the hinges. They punch walls. They put holes in their walls. They beat people up, all because they're angry. And so Balaam is angry, and he is no longer acting human. He is acting like the animal that he is beating. And so sin has a way to cause us to lose our humanness. We become inhuman when we get angry. We become inhuman when we are bent on trying to do what we want to do. We can do some evil and devious things when we desire to do something and the answer is no. We push our way and we push our way until we become like animals trying to get what we want. And so he lost his humanness. And then thirdly, his spiritual eyes were blocked because of sin. Do you know that when you are in sin, you cannot see God's ways straight? You are walking in darkness. And so every time you commit a sin, until you repent of that sin, your spiritual eyesight is going to be blocked. You are never going to see it God's way, because you won't see it God's way until what? The sin is cleared. That is why Jesus died for us, so that we can go and ask for forgiveness, so that we can continue to grow in the spirit. But you will not continue to grow in the spirit if your sin is blocking you from having spiritual vision. You need to make sure that you are confessing sin. You need to make sure that you, when you're walking in it, when you are walking in no sin, that you repent of it. That you turn from it, that you turn away, because it is blocking your spiritual growth. It is blocking your spiritual eyesight. It is blocking your spiritual vision. You are not going to be able to retain spiritual things when you are continuously walking in sin. Amen. When you're pushing to have your way.
Amen.
And verse 28 says, then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? Now, God is so funny. He takes the dumbest animal and gives him the most wisdom in this scenario. Amen? Who looks like the dumb one now? So the donkey is, what have I done to you that you struck me these three times? What have I done to you? Didn't you see the wall? Didn't you see the vineyard? What is wrong with you? Why are you beating me? Didn't you see what I saw? Because you have abused me, and this is what Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me. What? Because you have abused me? I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. There is something wrong with getting angry and getting out of control. You just end up saying any old kind of stuff. That doesn't even make sense, does it? In the real world, to logically thinking people, that makes no sense whatever. And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, I wish there was a sword in my hand, for now I will kill you. He shouldn't have said that, because that's going to come right back to him. Watch what you say when you're angry. Mm-hmm. 30, so the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. 31, then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his feet. Now things change. Now that I can see what you see. I get it now. I didn't see that angel before. No, you didn't see it, because you were all tied up in what you wanted. You were all tied up in your temptation. You were all tied up in your sin. And so you couldn't see the grace of God in this picture. You couldn't see the roadblock that God has set in the way, because you're so bent on getting what you want. And so all of a sudden, God will take the blinders off your eyes so you can see what he is seeing. And it's just like, oh, now I'm going to fall and prostrate myself before the Lord. Now I'm going to fall and repent. And 32, and the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you strunk your donkey these three times? God sees everything we do. God didn't like it because God doesn't like sin. Sin is serious business, right? And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. You don't have to excuse me because I think the word of God would just be so funny sometimes. Why? Because God knows man so well. And he doesn't mind calling man out. And when he calls you out, sometimes all I can do is chuckle. Behold, I have come to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. I guess the message today is check yourself. Is what you're doing going against what God has told you not to do? Because if what we are doing is going against what God has told us to do, he is not pleased. He has roadblocks. You're trying to figure out how can I get past this? How can I get it done? What can I do? You can't. There is an angel blocking the way. You can't see it. But there's an angel blocking the way. Your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now. Isn't that what he just told the donkey? Yeah, if I had a sword, I would have took you out. The angel said, I do have a sword, and I wanted to take you out, but your donkey saved your life. Your donkey kept me from pulling the sword. Your donkey kept you alive in this situation. You beat the donkey that kept you alive. Sometimes we beat down the people who are trying to do the best for us. Sometimes we strike down the people who are trying to help us. We say that they're doing it against us, but really they are for us. They love us more than we love ourselves. They know that we are headed into danger. They know that we are headed into destruction. And so they stand in the way and they try to block us from doing that. And all we do is strike them. Strike them down. And all they're trying to do is help.
Thank you, Lord.
34, and Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now, for if it displeases you, I will turn back. He has not repented. You see that word if? God just told him what? I don't like it. And he said, well, if you're not happy with it, I'll go back. Well, he told you he wasn't happy. Still wants to do what? What he wants to do. And to make a long story short, he goes on and does it. He goes to the people, but God has control over his mouth. And he's not able to curse the people. Why? Because God has already told him, you cannot curse what I have blessed. And because he could not curse the people, even though he went and he spoke over them, it was all blessings. And the king got mad at him. The king got mad at him, right? God, I'm telling you, stay out of God's way. God will make you look like a fool. He doesn't care. He will make you look dumb in front of the people you are trying to impress. Do not go for that sin. Do not go for that temptation. You will have egg on your face. Because when God is in control, he is going to do what he said he was going to do. And so the message of the story is stop pushing your way. When God says no, he means no.
He means no.
But there was another man riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. But unlike Balaam, this man was not out of his mind. This man was not evil. This man was not trying to get his own way. This hallelujah, no Lord. This man was God all by himself. He was on the donkey and he was not beating the donkey. He was riding the donkey into the kingdom, headed to Calvary's cross to die for my sin and for your sin. He was God all by himself. No sin in him. And instead of him beating the donkey, the people beat him. They took him into the courtyard and they beat him all night long. They beat him all night long. They spat on him. They slapped him. They beat him. And he had done nothing. They treated him like Balaam treated the donkey. And God allowed him to die on that cross. God allowed him to die an unsinful death for us. He allowed us to die for our sins just so that we have a right to come to him today and ask him for forgiveness. Just so we have a right to come to him today and receive eternal life. He was on a donkey, but he was love on a donkey. He was not hate on a donkey. He was a savior on a donkey. He was our protector on a donkey. He was our friend on a donkey. He was God on a donkey. But they beat him anyway. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Suffer, bled, and died for something that he did not do. Hallelujah. God is a good God. He wants us to live a righteous life. And he allowed Jesus to die for our sins. So we could live that righteous life. So temptation wouldn't have that pull on us that it had on Balaam. He died so we could say no to temptation. That we could say no to sin. He died to set us free. God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen. What a word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's give Reverend Leafhart another round of applause. Amen. The donkey is not the problem. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. We're going to give her a minute to catch her breath, and we'll bring her back up to close us out. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. So she hit on a lot of points, you know, that we often run into. Amen. Amen. We don't like no. Nobody likes to hear no. Don't even try and fool yourself and think you do. You do not like no. Nobody likes no, but we have to humble ourselves. Amen. Amen. And understand that everybody is not against us. Everybody is not against us. And some no's are good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so if you don't mind, we'll bring Reverend Leafhart back up. She had a moment to catch her breath so she can close us out.
Amen. Good word. Amen. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We would be amiss if we closed this service without opening up the doors of the church and giving someone an opportunity, a chance to make Jesus Christ their Lord. And I never assume that just because you've been in church all your life, that you have really given your life to Christ. And so we open up the doors of the church, and there is no shame in that. If a light bulb went off today and you realize that you have not really given your heart to God, that you have really not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have not confessed him as Lord and Savior of your life, this is your opportunity to do that. Man, woman, boy, or girl can receive Jesus Christ in their life. And so we want to open up the doors of the church. If there is anyone at this time who would like to come forward and confess that they believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is Savior of the world, that he died for my sins, you can do that at this time. Is there one?
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."